It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Biden's border crisis. That is our top story at noon.
The Biden administration was completely unprepared for this, but it wasn't like they weren't warned.
Officials say the crisis at the southern border could last up to 7 months as the administration continues to face growing pressure to change its tactics.
You can't release people into the United States. You can't let them know that our laws mean nothing and that you can violate the laws and that there will be no consequence. As long as there's no consequence, people will continue to come.
Brandon Judd at the National Border Patrol Council says this crisis is President Biden's own doing. Now, with illegal border crossings increasing every day, officials say the crisis will last at least through September. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy.
President Biden undid everything that the Republican Congress and the Trump administration did. Easy peasy, done.
At least 18,000 kids now packed into cramped holding areas at the border, and the administration is begging for help from any government worker willing to volunteer for up to 120 days. Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the children won't be sent back either.
We are not going to send children under the age of 18, kids under the age of 18, back on this treacherous journey. It does not mean that they get to stay in the United States. It means their cases are adjudicated.
But Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar says there's simply too many migrant kids in custody to process them properly.
Over 2,000 of them have been released into the United States without a notice to appear. I emphasize, without a notice to appear at an immigration court.
Meantime, former President Trump says he may go to the southern border soon. If he does, he'll get there before the current commander-in-chief.
Over the next couple of weeks, the Border Patrol wants me to go, probably over the next couple of weeks. I don't think there's a rush for me to go.
President Biden says he plans to go to the border, too, although no timeline for his trip has been given. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz just got back from the border, where the Biden administration turned his camera off at one detention center.
Please give dignity to the people. Please give dignity to the people.
So you work for the commissioner, your senior advisor. You were hired 2 weeks ago, and you're instructed to ask us to not have any pictures taken here.
Please respect the people.
Because the political
rules.
Leadership at DHS does not want the American people to know it.
Officials say there are 500 to 800 illegal border crossings every single day, and they expect that to go up to 26,000 per month by September. The trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin got underway today with opening statements in Minneapolis. Chauvin charged with murder for kneeling on the neck of George Floyd for nearly 9 minutes last May.
I got faith, and this case will never break my faith. I have faith that he will get convicted. Just like everybody who's seen that video, because the video is the proof.
George Floyd's brother, Flonis.
The world want to know what is going to happen. You can't sweep this under the rug. Four police officers killed one man. He was upright and he was fine until they put him in a prone position, face down.
Derek Chauvin's trial expected to take several weeks. The knee-on-the-neck incident last May sparked violent protests in major cities all across the country last summer. The World Health Organization under fire for claiming that the source of COVID-19 likely came from an animal and not from a lab in Wuhan, China, as many believe. World Health expert Jamie Metzl says the investigation into the origins of the virus in China was nothing more than a dog and pony show.
Everybody around the world is imagining this is some kind of full investigation. It's not. This group of experts only saw what the Chinese government wanted them to see.
Metzl says the WHO allowed China to lead the investigation into the origins of the virus, a move he says made absolutely no sense.
Imagine if we had asked the Soviet Union to do a co-investigation of Chernobyl. It doesn't really make sense.
Former CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield says he believes the virus escaped from a lab in Wuhan, China. Many leading health experts also say the World Health Organization is protecting the Chinese government by claiming the source of the COVID outbreak came from an animal. Six more states opening up COVID-19 vaccinations to all adults today. Kansas, Louisiana, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, and Texas now allowing anyone over the age of 16 to get the shot. Pandemic point man Dr. Anthony Fauci says vaccine availability will lead to more reopening.
Late spring, early summer, there's going to be a relaxation where you're going to have more and more people who will be allowed into baseball parks. Very likely separated with seating, very likely continuing to wear masks.
Fauci says being outside in the warmer months should help control the spread of the virus, too. The city of Nashville, under a state of emergency after flooding, left at least four people dead this past weekend. First responders rescuing at least 250 people from vehicles and homes as the water rose.
We have about 251 incidents. It took 600 of our fire personnel to respond to these events.
Parts of the Nashville area saw up to 8 inches of rain this past weekend. That's the second highest two-day total on record in the Music City.
I really was thanking God that we was all okay.
The same system spawned tornadoes across four states and caused some wind-whipped rain in our neck of the woods yesterday. Parts of western New York waking up to some snow on the ground earlier today. Finally free, that massive cargo ship that's been blocking the Suez Canal for nearly a week now was dislodged earlier today. Workers able to free the ship that's held up over $9 billion in global trade. Each day it's been stuck. The traffic moving again today along the Suez Canal. Still to come this Monday, recreational pot in New York, COVID and the Amish in Lancaster County, and the Vaccine Angels in Pennsylvania.
Well, good afternoon to all. A real up and down week is ahead with winter and spring duking it out. We'll talk more about that and prospects for the weather heading into Easter weekend straight ahead. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Monday, March 29th. Aides to New York's embattled governor have been subpoenaed in the sexual harassment probe into Andrew Cuomo.
The governor's senior staff was complicit in helping him procure these young women in his office. They were complicit in covering it up, and they were complicit in some cases in retaliation.
New York State Republican Assemblyman Mike Lawler says he's pleased the investigation into the sexual harassment claims is moving forward.
You have a culture of corruption in the governor's office, and you have a staff that very much acts like their boss. And so, you know, getting to the bottom of this is critical.
Eight women have accused the governor of sexual harassment. Andrew Cuomo also under investigation for allegedly trying to cover up the number of COVID-19 nursing home deaths in the state. Today, the Pennsylvania Department of Health updated its nursing home visitation rules in the era of COVID-19. Health Secretary Allison Beam says vaccinated residents can now visit their loved ones face-to-face in the Keystone State. Health officials say the Amish community in Lancaster County, PA, may have reached herd immunity from COVID-19.
Herd immunity refers to the number of people in a community or a country, for that matter, that have some protection against an infectious process.
Dr. Mike Sirigliano at the University of Pennsylvania says 90% of Amish households in Lancaster County dealt with at least one COVID case after churches were allowed to reopen last year. Sirigliano says those households are now immune from the virus.
We don't really know how long you're protected. And we've seen cases where people get reinfected. So I don't personally believe that we will reach herd immunity going forward without the use of vaccination.
Dr. Sirigliano says with COVID variants now posing a threat, it may be impossible to achieve herd immunity without vaccinations.
I don't want people to get a full sense of security. Well, the Amish community in Lancaster County was the first in the country to reach herd immunity, and we can let our guard down. We cannot.
The experts say just because it appears herd immunity has been reached in the Amish community of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, vaccinations still highly encouraged to prevent serious illness and death. Getting a COVID shot easier for hundreds of folks in the Northeast, thanks to a group of seven people known as the Vaccine Angels. While most folks are sleeping, they're on their laptops, booking appointments.
We've had people in New York, Virginia, North Carolina, Delaware, New Jersey, which was a challenge. New York, probably the worst.
Diane Muma from Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, is one of those vaccine angels. She says she alone has been able to book appointments for over 370 people, usually searching online from midnight to 2 a.m.
How grateful they are. You know, when you call a man in particular, and he cries when you tell them that you found an appointment for them.
Muma says the vaccine angels have been able to book over 1,000 appointments since they started their campaign. This week, New York will become the 15th state in the country to legalize adult-use marijuana. Chemung County Sheriff Bill Schramm says recreational pot will drive up motor vehicle accidents and fatalities. And all you have to do is look at Colorado to prove that point.
Marijuana-related fatality motor vehicle accidents, I think it's increased over 150%.
Marijuana has been legal in Colorado for over 6 years, and Bill Schramm says legalizing it here will only create more drug addicts.
I have never interviewed a suspect who had these types of addictions that didn't first start with marijuana.
While Sheriff Schramm is against recreational pot, these New Yorkers are split on the issue.
I think I'm in support of it. Times are changing.
I have some skepticism, but I don't think it's going to be that bad.
I just don't think it's really a good option. I'm hoping that maybe they can find other options to make money.
Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren wants to use pot profits in the state to pay for slave reparations in the Flower City. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown says the Queen City will also be using sales of the drug to prop up those in poverty.
We will, in the city of Buffalo, work with the members of the community to make sure that the money gets to low-income communities and they have the support that they need to grow out of poverty and get stronger.
After a final vote this week to legalize recreational marijuana, state officials say it'll take up to 2 years for dispensaries to start selling it in New York. Niagara University in Western New York continues to mourn the death of a student there. Officials say 23-year-old Patrick Romano was killed this past weekend in a house fire in Niagara Falls.
He was somebody who just radiated positivity in every capacity. He literally was the happiest human being I've ever met in my entire life.
Tom Moradian was Romano's hockey coach at Niagara University. He says the school not only lost a great hockey player, but a tremendous human being.
He was the heartbeat of our team. It's frustrating because we lost a player, but we also lost the biggest character in our locker room.
Coach Moradian says they'll be dedicating the entire season next year at Niagara University to Patrick Romano. Take your best shot, Syracuse. Basketball rims were put back up in city parks in the Salt City today. They were taken down a year ago to help stop the spread of COVID-19. The city's parks and recreation department reinstalling the rims. They say it's going to take about 3 weeks to get all of those rims back up. Face coverings must be worn at all times, and health and safety guidelines will be posted at each court. But it's game on again in Syracuse, New York. Let's pause for sports. Your two-minute drill.
Let's start with March Madness, and the dance is over for the Orange. Second-seeded Houston heading back to the Elite Eight for the first time since 1984 when Hakeem Olajuwon was suiting up for the Cougars. They beat 11-seeded Syracuse 62-46 in the Sweet 16. Jim Boeheim on the Cougars.
We did a pretty good job defensively, but, you know,
we scored 20 points in the half. We're not going to win. But again, that was a tribute to their defense. Their defense was really terrific.
Houston will face off against Oregon State. Number one seed Baylor outscored fifth seeded Villanova by 18 in the second half to storm back to win 62-51. Jay Wright was impressed.
We were good enough to beat them. They just played better down the stretch. You know, I think down the stretch, their defense just got into us and wore us down, and it made the difference in the game.
The Bears face Arkansas. Elsewhere, Gonzaga crushed Creighton, Michigan big over Florida State. UCLA holds on to beat Alabama in overtime, and USC beat Oregon. In the NIT, Memphis wins the title with a 77-64 win over Mississippi State. The Indiana Hoosiers are hiring Mike Woodson as their new men's basketball coach. He returns to his alma mater after 11 seasons as a player in the NBA and 9 as a head coach with the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. Woodson played under Bobby Knight in Indiana. The NFL expected to vote this week on whether to change to a 17-game regular season. The league has had a 16-game regular season since 1978. In soccer, the United States men will miss out on their third straight Olympiad after falling 2-1 to Honduras in Guadalajara, Mexico. The U.S. needed a win to qualify. On the ice Saturday, the Sabres lost their 17th straight game when they fell to the Bruins 3-2. Buffalo will try to snap that skid tonight at home against the Flyers. Penguins hosting the Islanders. Leafs host the Oilers. In the NBA, the Nets host the Timberwolves. Knicks at home against the Heat. Raptors play in Detroit. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, crisis at the southern border. Derek Chauvin's trial is underway, and George Washington's hair up for sale.
One of the tests of our ideas is what I call the test of the real world. What happens when our idea is actually lived out? Here's an example from the military at the Colson Center. I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. This month, Congress halted the rollout of the Army's new combat fitness test. Unlike the older test, which dates back to before combat roles were open to female soldiers, the new test requires men and women to meet the same standards of physical fitness. That's a problem, critics and activists say, since so far, 54% of women have failed this new gender-neutral test. The Service Women's Action Network CEO Deshauna Barber complained, a fitness test so clearly biased simply cannot move forward without further review. A letter from her organization to the House and Senate Armed Services Committees called the gender-neutral test, quote, hasty and rash, and insisted that too many otherwise qualified soldiers are failing. Well, eventually, the Army agreed to revise the test and reflect these complaints. Now, to be clear, we're talking about testing for combat infantry roles, literally for the boots on the ground. Isn't the physical strength of service members critical for battle? At least one notable voice thinks so, writing at West Point's Modern War Institute, Captain Kristen Greist, the Army's first female infantry officer, argues that lowering the physical bar for women would have deadly consequences on the battlefield. Quote, while it may be difficult for a 120-pound woman to lift or drag 250 pounds, the Army cannot artificially absolve women of that responsibility because it may still exist on the battlefield. Each job has objective physical standards to which all soldiers should be held regardless of gender. To not require women to meet equal standards in combat arms will not only undermine their credibility, but also place those women, their teammates, and their mission at risk. She's right. The bad idea behind lowering standards for female soldiers is the same bad idea behind putting transgender male athletes in the ring to fight women. Men and women are physically different. Just ask Tamika Brents, who back in 2014 had her skull fractured in 2 minutes after fighting Fallon Fox, the MMA's first openly transgender fighter. Physical jobs require physical strength. There's hardly any job in the world more physically demanding than combat infantry. Giving an assault rifle and a pair of boots to men or women unable to meet those demands is worse than madness. Though the sexes were created with the same dignity as bearers of God's image, they weren't created identical. Our differences are, in fact, where our greatest strengths lie. Recently, while I was re-watching the movie Avengers Endgame with my son Hunter, I couldn't overlook that famous scene near the end where all the female superheroes team up on the battlefield to kick alien Keister and save the day. Of course, there's a lot of imagination involved in the entire Avengers world, but still, cheesy girl power moments like this miss a remarkable truth, one that Eric Metaxas highlights in the opening section of his book, Seven Women. So often, women are portrayed as being great despite being women, or because somehow they acted like a man. But the greatness of women is actually as women, in ways that men are not, in ways that God made them. It's in the very good way that God created women that they have true strength. I was talking about that line from Eric Metaxas' book with my wife Sarah when she first had the idea for the Strong Women podcast, which she now co-hosts with Aaron Kunkel. If you haven't subscribed or listened, trust me, it resets the very thin narrative about women that currently dominates so much of our world. And by the way, our Friday intensive in the upcoming Wilberforce weekend will offer a deep dive on the idea of the image of God as male and female. Speakers include myself, Ryan Anderson, Emily Gow, Rebecca McLaughlin. Come to WilberforceWeekend.org for more information. That's WilberforceWeekend.org. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 minutes past the hour, let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, we've got a major up and down weather week ahead of us, thanks to a very active jet stream delivering a cold winter wind today, balmy breezes tomorrow, a chance for accumulating snow midweek, and then an Easter weekend looks pretty sunny, one that starts cold but then warms with time. For this afternoon, brisk winds and cold, clouds breaking for sunshine, high temperatures in the 40s. Tonight will be moonlit and cold, the low in the 20s and low 30s. Beautiful day tomorrow, turning much warmer than today with abundant sunshine. High tomorrow, 60s to near 70. Wednesday, cloudy with rain and turning colder. Temperatures falling from the 50s into the 30s. Rain changes to snow by Wednesday night. There could be some accumulations by the Thursday morning time frame, with cold air to start the Easter weekend to moderate with plenty of sunshine.
All right, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, March 29th. What is Biden hiding? That is the big question at the southern border today after Texas Senator Ted Cruz had his camera blocked at one overcrowded detention center. Listen to this exchange from Cruz and a worker at that center.
Please give dignity to the people. Please give dignity to the people.
So you work for the commissioner, your senior advisor. You were hired 2 weeks ago, and you're instructed to ask us to not have any pictures taken here.
Please respect the people.
Because the political
rules.
Leadership at DHS does not want the American people to know it.
Please respect the rules,
you keep
sir.
Standing in front of the pictures,
please.
So you don't want the pictures
rules.
Taken, and this is a dangerous place.
Please don't treat the
and
people
and your
like
policies,
this. That's
unfortunately,
you,
are trying to hide them. I understand.
That's
you were instructed. When 18
I
senators
you
came
to
down
please
here,
please respect the people. Give them dignity and respect.
I respect them, and I want to fix this situation.
We all want
and
to fix this.
The administration
this,
you're working for is responsible
anymore.
For these conditions.
That was Texas Senator Ted Cruz and a worker at an overcrowded detention center at the southern border. Fox News host Chris Wallace pressed White House spokesman Jen Psaki on the issue.
At this point, in terms of allowing access to Border Patrol facilities for reporters, you are being less transparent than the Trump administration.
Well, first of all, Chris, the Trump administration was turning away kids at the border, sending them back on the treacherous journey, or they were ripping kids from the arms of their parents. We're not doing that. We are committed to allowing cameras into the Border Patrol facilities. Absolutely.
Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton recently returned from the southern border. He says those seeking asylum in the U.S. are seeking it for the wrong reasons. And they're breaking the law.
Just because your country has some violence, just because it's poorer than the United States, doesn't give you a basis to come here. You have to be the victim of systematic persecution for things like your religious views or your political views or your sex. Not a single one with whom I spoke claimed that the other night. They all were responding to Joe Biden and to his decisions right. to allow them in. And if we let them in, more will come by the hundreds of thousands.
Officials now say the crisis at the southern border will last through at least September. Opening statements got underway today in the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer accused of murdering George Floyd. Derek Chauvin was seen on video kneeling on the neck of Floyd for several minutes during an arrest last May.
Today starts a landmark trial that will be a referendum on how far America has come in its quest for equality and justice for all.
Floyd family attorney Benjamin Crump.
This murder case is not hard. When you watch that torture video of George Floyd, and we have to call it what it is. It was torture.
The neck kneeling incident set off violent protests across the country all summer long last year. The former White House coronavirus response coordinator says most of the 500,000 U.S. COVID-19 deaths were avoidable. In a new documentary that aired on CNN on Sunday, Dr. Deborah Birx says the first wave of deaths was likely, but the country could have avoided the death toll of future waves.
There were about 100,000 deaths that came from that original surge. All of the rest of them, in my mind, could have been mitigated or decreased substantially.
Birx blames the deaths on a lack of social distancing and shutdown measures being lifted too soon. A cargo ship the size of the Empire State Building was finally dislodged earlier today after being stuck across the Suez Canal for nearly a week now. Officials say that stuck ship had held up over $9 billion in global trade each day. Traffic now able to freely pass along one of the busiest water corridors in the entire world. 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues that matter most to our public schooling families with Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in Houghton, New York. Ralph, just a few more days till opening day. I know you can't wait. Play ball.
There you go. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, going to be fun. And let's start with this new poll from the Associated Press. And I thought it was really interesting. Love to get your thoughts on it. 7 in 10 parents nationwide are afraid their kids are falling behind academically. I heard one expert say that we're experiencing a pandemic of learning loss like never before in this country. If you would just talk about what the long-term impact of this will be, this learning loss.
Well, you know, I have a lot of confidence in teachers, and particularly in the elementary grades, early elementary. Teachers have children come into their classroom, don't know how to tie their shoes, or they don't know their ABCs or that. But teachers have a knack of taking children wherever they are and moving them along. Yeah. And I'm just confident that teachers are going to continue to do that. And hopefully most of the learning loss that will occur can be made up by really skilled teachers.
Yeah. And if you're praying for somebody today, pray for our teachers. They could desperately use it right now. Yeah. And the CDC moving that goalpost when it comes to social distancing. 6 feet is now 3. That should go a long way to get schools back open. But New York's health department dragging its feet on this. How come, Ralph?
Well, part of it has to do with the unions. I mean, the unions have been, particularly in the big cities, have been just opposed to children going back to school for in-person learning. And this whole issue of moving to 3 feet, they want to retain the 6. Before, they didn't want to go at all. So it just becomes another excuse for not going back to school. And unfortunately, some people in state government say, well, we follow the science, we follow the guidelines. But then it turns out that they're kind of selective in which ones they follow.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for them to come around to the agreement that 3 feet is plenty of space in a classroom for children.
Is it going to get to the point where there's a representative in Pennsylvania by the name of Stan Saylor who's saying, hey, if you don't open full-time in the fall, we're going to hold on to that state funding that you so desperately need. Do you think we'll get to that point if the unions don't budge?
Honestly, I hope that we will. We should have been there before. You know, it's just one excuse after another, which I don't understand in one sense, other than it's the union leadership, because the rank and file in the unions are, as I've said over and over again, are really good teachers that want to teach children.
Yeah.
And it's almost time for them to have a little uprising within their bargaining units and say, we appreciate your leadership, but we're going back to school to teach the children.
Well, let's head from the high schools to the college now. In Pennsylvania, big debate. The state system of higher education is floating this consolidation idea. Mansfield Bloom Bloomsburg, Lock Haven would all be merged into one. That's not sitting well in those communities, Ralph. Your thoughts on the matter?
Well, I think it's a response, really, to the fact that over the last 10 years or so, there's been a 20% drop in students, and also those schools are dealing with the fact that many, many students have enrolled in virtual programs that are housed outside Pennsylvania. So they're really trying to find a way to overcome those difficulties that they're facing. They're looking to, for instance, reduce tuition by 25%, which is obviously going to mean that some faculty are going to be let go. So, you know, there are concerns about that. But as we've talked about before, apparently athletics are going to be retained by each school. Yeah. All those offerings are going to continue, and that should make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, indeed. And then before we go, you know, this is the time that May school budget vote is coming up, and this is the time of year. And even if you're not, if your kids aren't enrolled in public school, it's so important that Christians get involved in their local school district. This is the time of year if you are concerned. Why is that so important, Ralph? And what are some of the things people should be doing now if they are interested in perhaps serving on their school board?
Well, certainly that's the case. If you look at the local and national news, you'll see issues every day that schools are dealing with, and many of them are policy decisions, and that's the biggest thing that you get involved in as a school board member, is setting the policy for the district. And we really want to encourage Christians to take a look at running for their local school board, find out the issues that are being discussed in your local school, and then contact the clerk of the board to find out the procedures for actually becoming a candidate for your local school board, and do it soon.
Yeah, and again, that May vote will be here before you know it.
Yes, it will.
And there's so much information on your website about this. If you're interested in serving on your local school board, Ralph, where can folks go and find out more information?
Just simply go to whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
It's called Issues and Education Comes Your Way Mondays during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, we've got a major up and down weather week ahead of us, thanks to a very active jet stream delivering a cold winter wind today, balmy breezes tomorrow, a chance for accumulating snow midweek, and then an Easter weekend looks pretty sunny, one that starts cold but then warms with time. For this afternoon, brisk winds and cold, clouds breaking for sunshine, high temperatures in the 40s. Tonight will be moonlit and cold, the low in the 20s and low 30s. Beautiful day tomorrow, turning much warmer than today with abundant sunshine. High tomorrow, 60s to near 70. Wednesday, cloudy with rain and turning colder. Temperatures falling from the 50s into the 30s. Rain changes to snow by Wednesday night. There could be some accumulations by the Thursday morning time frame, with cold air to start the Easter weekend to moderate with plenty of sunshine.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, a piece of George Washington's hair is up for sale. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
George Washington's hair is being put up for auction. A handmade locket that's filled with multiple strands of Washington's hair and a letter dated 1836 is now up for sale. The letter says the hair was cut from the nation's first president in 1799, the same year he died. The historical item is expected to go for between $4,000 and $6,000. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Those are some expensive locks. Thank you, Brandon. That's the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.